You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruryak. California's Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom is now Governor-elect Newsom. Let's listen to a bit of his acceptance speech in Los Angeles last night.
There's a reason why California's dream is America's leading brand. Because California's dream has always been and always will be too big to fail and too powerful to bully. And here's the thing, the California dream, it's not binary. Every day we show how human endeavor can be both lucrative and inclusive. They aren't mutually exclusive. We don't just want success in the right hands, we want it in everybody's hands. But let's be honest, there's no doubt about this, the dream is still too distant for too many. We're a land of plenty, but we are far from perfect. Too many Californians are being priced out of housing, healthcare and higher education. Too many workers are feeling the ever-tightening squeeze of automation and wage stagnation. Too many children are growing up in poverty and starting school from behind. In many ways, in many places, we are simultaneously the richest and the poorest state. But after traveling California from region to region in a bus fueled by perpetual optimism, I'm more convinced than ever there's no problem in California that isn't somehow, somewhere being solved by a Californian.
A voice that Californians are going to become very familiar with, that is the projected governor-elect of the state, Gavin Newsom. Our Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler has been following the gubernatorial campaigns and last night was at Governor-elect Newsom's election headquarters. So let's check in with Ben. I talked with him about the direction California may go now under Gavin Newsom.
I don't think anyone's surprised that Gavin Newsom won. And by the way, at last check, as we await millions more late-arriving vote-by-mail ballots and provisional ballots and conditional voter registration, which is people registering and voting provisionally on the same day as the election, right now Newsom leads by roughly 20 points and roughly maybe 1.3 or so million votes. So that's just as large as some polls showed, larger than others, and
right.
a clear, convincing victory for Gavin Newsom and a mandate. And he will claim that mandate. He did claim that mandate last night in his victory speech.
So he talked about staying firm in California's resistance to some of the policies, almost talked about California in a way as its own country with its own mindset. And when you look at Gavin Newsom's track record, he will continue to want to blaze that trail. Talk to me, Ben, about him working with the legislature, some of the people that have been elected in the administration and lawmakers around him.
Well, one thing that is a surprise is that it looks like Democrats are going to have a two-thirds supermajority, not just in the Assembly, which was essentially a given, but also in the state Senate, which was a bit longer of a shot. And they may even have an extra vote there. And Assembly Democrats are likely to have at least two votes above a supermajority. So Democrats are truly in power in Sacramento. They certainly have been before, but with Jerry Brown doing his paddle to the left, paddle to the right thing, I think most people expect Gavin Newsom to govern more to the left of Jerry Brown. And so I think California voters have unmistakably delivered a more liberal, more progressive government to California. We'll see how that affects policies that maybe Jerry Brown or policies and budget proposals that Jerry Brown has blocked or vetoed in the past.
He's talked quite a bit about education. People around his candidacy have talked about wanting him to prioritize education, especially young, early childhood education, differently than Governor Brown has done. And in looking at the state superintendent of schools race, again, how high on the priority list do you think not only will that subject be, but will it actually come to pass in terms of action?
Well, first of all, I think the state schools race is too close to call right now. It looks like Marshall Tuck, is leading Tony Thurmond, and Tuck is the candidate more aligned with ed reform groups and charter schools. Thurmond is the candidate aligned with teachers' unions. And by the way, both are registered Democrats. Tuck is up by about 1%, and in actual votes, that looks to be maybe 75,000 or so. And again, we've got a couple million more that are going to come in. And if, as has been the case in the past, the later votes have skewed more liberal, then Thurmond does have a chance of winning. Tuck was looking a lot stronger earlier in the night, and we should not assume that he is going to hold on to this seat. If he does, then that would be a bit of a difference of opinion, shall we say, on policies with him supporting some stronger education reform policies than maybe some of the Democrats in the legislature are willing to do. And that would be something very interesting to watch. But we don't know if we're going to have that.
I think what's being said is that one winner takes us in a pathway of more scrappy, fussy movement on education. The other may be a smoother path. But the bigger point is, do you think in office, Governor-elect Gavin Newsom will emphasize and change the focus, maybe the funding, some of the policies on education differently and with more priority than Governor Brown did?
Well, certainly we've heard him say that he's going to make universal preschool a priority. That's going to be pretty expensive, and we'll also see if by universal preschool he means that everyone has access to it or that it's paid, the state pays for it for everyone. Those
right.
are two different things. Similar to universal health care versus single-payer health care. Universal health care would leave, by and large, or could leave by and large, the existing system in place, but then just expand Medi-Cal and other state programs to help folks who can't afford it on their own. We also know that Newsom is committed to more money for the UC and CSU systems in higher education. We've already seen just yesterday the CSU system announced it's going to propose a budget ask to the state of nearly $500,000 new ongoing each year. They only got $100 or $200 million each year under Jerry Brown. And so I think that already is a clear sign that, people are expecting Gavin Newsom to be more willing to fund certain parts of the state budget, and that includes higher education and early education.
So a new governor, Ben, means a new first lady. And Gavin Newsom's wife, Jennifer Siebel Newsom, is prominent in her own work as a documentary film producer. She becomes a role model in a different sense now, and they have four children. So the speculation starts right away. Where might they live in Sacramento? Does the whole family move to Sacramento? What happens in terms of their personal life? Any details?
Those are good questions. I've heard various things about it, and I'm not going to speak on that until Gavin Newsom takes that question at whenever he meets with the press first in the days to come.
One final question about the man who ran against Gavin Newsom, John Cox. Where do you think he might go from here? Has he given any ideas about whether he entertains more of a role in public life?
He didn't say what he would do next, but John Cox has always been politically active from outside the political establishment. He has run ballot measures unsuccessfully, tried to get him on the ballot, that neighborhood legislature initiative that would have made so many more, like hundreds more, or actually I think 12,000 state lawmakers, each representing 5,000 or 10,000 Californians. So I wouldn't expect him to just pack it in and head home, but he was embraced by the Republican establishment for this race simply because Republican Majority Leader of the House, Kevin McCarthy of Bakersfield, really felt that Cox presented the best chance for leading the Republican ticket for Republican candidates to hold their House seats in California. And some of them might, some of them probably won't. It's really close results in Congress in California, and we're going to be, I think, waiting days, if not weeks, for some of these districts to sort themselves out. But Cox, I think the Republican establishment may feel he did what they wanted him to do. And I don't know if they're going to keep going back to him for more or if they're going to just shake hands and say thank you and move on.
All right, Ben, it's been a big election cycle for you. Anything else to add as we wrap up this conversation, knowing that your continuing work down there will hear in the next couple days? But any final thought on this day after the midterms?
It's going to be a new era in California, and Californians didn't just elect Gavin Newsom governor. They didn't just, in all likelihood, return Democrats to supermajority status in both chambers of the legislature. They rejected Proposition 6, which would have repealed the gas tax increase for transportation projects. And yet they also appear to have rejected, although I think it's still too close to call, Proposition 3, the water bond. And they widely rejected Proposition 10, the measure that would have repealed the state law that limits rent control. And so there are going to be some big issues coming up next year. Housing, healthcare, not just the relatively easy to see that Democrats are likely to agree on issues like more money for higher education and early education. So those are going to be some things to watch. What kind of policies are coming out of this more liberal legislature and this more liberal governor on issues that voters chose to keep the status quo? And then just the fact that California voters did say, we want to leave the gas tax increase in place to fund these road repair projects. Democrats are going to say that's because voters see the value in these projects. Anecdotally, there is some truth to that. There is also anecdotally some truth to the fact that some voters appear to have been confused by the way it appeared on the ballot,
right,
and maybe thought they were voting to repeal the gas tax when in fact they voted to leave it in place.
Yeah, when a no means a yes and a yes means a no, right?
Exactly, right. Exactly.
All right, Ben, thank you so much for your contribution in so many ways to our coverage and the vast politics that we have, especially if you go to capradio.org and the podcasts. So I know your work is continuing. We look forward to seeing you back here in Sacramento.
Thanks, Beth. Talk to you soon. And great job with you and the crew as well.
That was Capital Public Radio's Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler, who was in Los Angeles. There's much more election coverage and results at capradio.org. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak. Our senior producer is Jen Picard. Our producers are Cody Drabble and Bert Johnson. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Our engineer today, Anthony Van Hook. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.